All right, here we are in Proverbs chapter 20, and for those who are listening by live stream or perhaps visiting with us tonight, what we're doing is just working our way. We're not far from being finished with that, and just 31 chapters. So we're taking one chapter at a time, and we're in chapter number 20, and we alternate between weeks. The first week, I take the chapter, and I find several passages within that chapter as time allows, and because I'm having to go down with the teenagers for a while, my time is relatively brief. But I find one or two texts that just reach out to my heart, and what a blessing. And so different men in the church then the following week will do the same thing. And so that same chapter gets taught twice, but different principles from the same chapter. And what a blessing it has been to this preacher to watch our men as they are growing in the Lord and they are finding places in the Word of God. They study it from this Wednesday to next Wednesday, and then they're ready to stand and to help us understand from the Word of God what God has through His Word for their hearts and shares it with us. So I'll do that tonight as the Lord dealt with my heart. So we're looking at Proverbs chapter 20, and I'll invite your attention right past verses 1, talks about wine, and 2, the fear of the king and the honor of a man, and the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. But I'd like us just to park for a little bit. This verse just really stands out to me. It's actually a companion passage with number 7. So verses 5 and 7. But we're going to look at verse number 5. Hopefully we'll get through it and get to verse number 7. But I see some of you smiling like, let's just see if it can happen. Another Red Sea miracle if it does. All right, we're going to give it a shot though, all right? Here we are in Proverbs chapter number 20, verse number 5. And the Bible records it in this manner. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Okay, let's look at it again. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, there's several things in there that just reached out to my heart and reminded me of the goodness of the Lord in giving us the Word of God to remind us, even though we know that the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, what's the first one? Doctrine. Then after doctrine is what? Okay, doctrine tells us the standards, all right? Thus saith the Lord. This is doctrine. This is teaching is what doctrine means. All right, so that's God's standard, whether we're talking about home, whether we're talking about business, whether we're talking about neighbors, whether we're talking about how we drive our car. There's standards for what God wants us to do in this life as His children. The word Christ means Christ-like. As they were called in the first century in many places, they were called the people of the way. Okay, so Christian has the idea that we are little Christ, or we are to reflect Christ. We are to be like Christ, all right? So when we have that in mind, and we look at this, and it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. So when I stop and I think about it, the Lord wants me to grow, so He gives me the Word of God for doctrine, that's teaching, that's standard. For reproof, that's telling me when I'm wrong. Wrong attitude, wrong action, wrong ambition. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that's telling me how to get back right. Okay, when I'm wrong, He's had to reprove me because I have fallen short or I've detoured from the standard. But when I'm following the will of God, and what a joy that is to stay on track and to follow after the Spirit, not after the flesh. But He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That's when I'm wrong. I've gotten a reproof from the rebuke from the Lord, reproof, and He tells me how to get back right. Aren't you glad He does that? Hebrews chapter 12 champions that cause, where He says, oh, when we get corrected of the Lord, it is grievous. Nothing pleasant about it. The spankings of the Lord, whether it's by His voice, or we could say by His hand when it's more serious. But it says afterward, though, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I was just talking with a farmer a couple of days ago, and they're getting ready for the harvest up north, and they're getting everything ready. They've got everything lined out, and they share crop and all of that, and a lot of acres, a lot of acres. And so they're getting ready for everything. Well, He says that the chastening of the Lord that he reproves us about, and then he corrects us, it's all about getting us back to the right direction. And the reason for it says that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. And that's what we're looking at here. So let's look at it. Thoroughly furnished in all good works. So let's look at it here. He says, counsel in the church by an awesome pastor. No, it doesn't say it, does it? All right. Let's see. Counsel in the school. No, it doesn't say that. Counsel in the, no. It says counsel in the heart. Now, how am I going to have counsel in my heart? Because that's why I go to church. That's why I go to Sunday school. That's why I'm here on Wednesday night, is to get counsel from the Word of God. If I'm in need of counselors, I need to go to a biblical counselor about finances, say. Or maybe it's marriage or some other type of counseling that needs to be done. But he says here, counsel in the heart. And then he calls it is like deep waters. Now let's pause for just a moment. How does counsel get within the heart? Now you've heard me say many times, and because I say it doesn't make it that important, but I think the principle is extremely important. That for the child of God, the mind is the courtroom of the heart. Like a judge, when he has maybe the district attorney has given somebody down the country, so to speak, and he says, judge, this is what. And then the defense attorney is just the opposite and say, that guy's nutty and a fruitcake. He doesn't know anything about what happened in this. This is how it really happened, jury or judge. But then it's the jury's or the judge's responsibility to adjudicate, to arrive at a conclusion of that which is truthful. Counsel in the heart. The mind is the courtroom of the heart. This is just the way Bray puts it. The mind is the courtroom of the heart. It adjudicates. It arrives at a decision. This meets God's standard. No, it doesn't. This pleases the Lord. No, it doesn't. This will be a sweet savor of Christ unto God through us. No, it doesn't. This is a wise move. No, it isn't. This is a financial dealing to participate. No, it's not. But especially in matters of the heart, in spiritual matters, the mind is the courtroom of the heart, and so it adjudicates. It takes the Word of God. It takes the various circumstances of life that we're in. And then it tries to determine, all right, what is God's standard? I better know God's standard. And so I'm going to check my circumstances. I'm going to check my opportunities. I'm going to check my resources. I'm going to check my relationships and see if they meet up with God's standard. If they don't, do I want to live a substandard life? I don't want to eat substandard wise. That can change your way of life. If you're eating something that, you know, last year's whatever, all right? I don't want to live substandard, and you don't either. I'm certain of that. You don't want to live substandard to God's standard. So it says here, counsel in the heart of man. Once a believer's mind adjudicates, this is right, this is wrong, it enters into the sanctuary of the heart. That's the way I put it. You can put it however is easiest for you, but for me, that just makes it fit. Because the Bible says a lot of times in the Old Testament about the heart and the soul of man, and especially in the New Testament, you have the heart and the soul and the spirit, and it's just a, oh. Now, the truth of the matter is, the old saying of computers, garbage in, garbage out. Quality in, quality out. And whatever we adjudicate in our minds and in our thinking through, this meets God's standard. But if we're oblivious to God's standard, we don't study the Word of God, we don't really care about the Word of God, then we're going to make all kinds of wrong choices by default. It's not necessary to say, I want to get into sin. I'm going to prove you can be in sin and have a good time. Well, that's a no-brainer. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. And then, of course, when the season's over, then all that changes. But, and I'm going to need to hurry here, but I want to get it in deeply within my mind and share it with you as well, that counsel in the heart. And so especially for a child of God who wants to enjoy life to its fullest, as only a Christian truly can, and really accomplish God's will as only a Christian can, and I don't want to get to heaven and hear the Lord say, why? I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And when I'm saying I am just involving all of us in that. Okay, it's not all about Randy Bray. But let's notice as it finishes that verse out, he says, counsel in the heart is like deep waters. How many of you in here are fishermen? Fishermen or rafts? People like to go down rapids and rafts and canoes and that thing, all right? All three of you, all right? I should have chose bungee jumping or something maybe, all right? But how many of you have been in a raft, a canoe, something that goes down the water? Thank you. All right, now I feel more gooder. All right, so let me ask you a question. And I know some of you, there are exceptions to every illustration, all right? Just kind of go with me on this, all right? When you're going down and you're, let's say, in your raft or you're in a canoe or something like that, normally speaking, now I know there's Niagara River and there is the Nile and there are other great rivers that, all right? But let's say, where do you notice the river moving the most quickly? Do you notice when the river is moving more quickly when it's going over the rocks? We would call them rapids, whether they're that deep or this deep or that deep. There still can be, depending on the size of the boulders under the water. Or is it in larger, like in a lake where there's a river in the lake or there's a deep place? Where does it move more quickly? Oh, good, shallow rocks, good. I feel, don't anybody answer otherwise because we're good right now, all right. So here's the point, is he says, counsel in the heart. That's talking about, Brother Jason, it's talking about a sister or whomever here. It's talking about when you and I go deeply within our hearts and it's already there. This isn't necessarily something you get in a Sunday morning service or a Wednesday night service, or this is what's been adjudicated maybe yesterday, maybe a decade ago. And it's not on the stream. Now think with me, it's the same body of water. And as you have the rapids going like this, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out, what happens to the water? Does it get faster? Or does it get slower? It gets slower, doesn't it? You ever heard the old expression, still water runs deep? You ever heard that? Still water runs deep? Has the idea, it's an analogy for people who think deeply. A lot of times they're not the effervescent kind of folks that just go out and they're just wired. And I still have about three, I don't really. But anyway, they're wired. We'll take 3 minutes and I'll just run down there instead of walk. All right. But still water runs deep. And that's what he's talking about here. Now let's get past the analogy very quickly. He says, counsel in the heart is like deep waters. There are things that are going on the surface in your life. It's not a different body of water. It's all the same body of water. But there are places in your life where you've gone along with just what's going on the surface, but then maybe there's been a crisis. Maybe there's been a true decision that you've made that's a bedrock decision. And you just, oh, praise God, thank you, Lord. That's a lifetime kind of a commitment. And so you're dealing with what's going on, and then all of a sudden the subject changes, and it's deep water. Where you already have that in your heart. You've already counseled your heart. Your mind is adjudicated. Here's the standard, and I want to reach that standard. And it's in there. It is locked in. The mooring on it is strengthened by the concrete of your convictions. Okay? The others going by, and there will be other times of rapids, just surface thoughts. But notice the last part of what he says. A man of understanding will draw it out. When you and I spend time daily with the Word of God, and we're studying the Word of God, we're not just reading it, we're studying it. The things we don't understand, oh, there's a target. Let me go after that. Why does God say he is not willing that any should perish? When you've got all kinds of individuals out there that do all kinds of things. They deserve whatever. Why does God say that? And you begin to study it out. It says a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, you're probably not made like your preacher is. But sometimes I've studied something and it's down deep. And then something comes along on the surface that, boy, it has an irritant about it. And I want to stay right on the surface. And I want to paddle up to that dude. And I want to just do what I want to do because it's on the surface. And it's got my attention. And all of a sudden, God reminds me there's deep water there. You've traveled those thoughts before. You've come into those circumstances prior to this. Go down and get it. Go down and get it. You know what's right to do. Yes, there's a part of you up here that's wanting to lose your temper, wanting to bail out on whatever because of the circumstance. And the devil is, he's there in surround sound and he's splashing you like, hey, don't pay attention to that. Just move on, move on. We're going to do just fine. And yet there's the counsel of the Holy Spirit who's counseling your mind to adjudicate once again, wait a minute, that's already been solved and resolved. I'm going deep. And saying, Lord, search me, know my heart. See if there be any wicked. No. There's a right way to do this. And with God's help, I will do it. I wish I could get to the next one. It's good. May I just read it for you? And maybe somebody will take this verse and follow it through. Verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. That first phrase, the just or the righteous man walketh in his integrity. How do you do that? Can I give you a hint? I wrote down all the verses, not all of them, a number of the verses that deal with a Christian, how he is to walk. Can I just fly through them fast? I can do it in 30 seconds. Can you hang in there? Okay, buckle in. Romans 6:4, walk in newness of life. Romans 8:1, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 13:13, walk honestly as in the day. 2 Corinthians 6:16, we walk by faith. Galatians 5:15, walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15, walk circumspectly. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom. 1 Thessalonians, walk worthy of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, another one. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another. 3 John, verse number 4, no greater joy that I have than to know that my children walk in truth. The just man walketh in his integrity. There's ways that God wants us to walk. If we'll do a study of just take those verses, just get your blue letter Bible out and do it like I did to find where does it say about walking? And, there's a lot of places. All right, those are target practice areas for me. Where do I have a weakness in one of those? If there's a weakness there, I'm going to learn how to do it. I had a goal when I was in high school to be able to do a one-arm chin-up. And I had a bar on my dorm door there in the dorm. I was in the Bob Jones Academy. And so I started down here. All these other university guys that are athletes, they're out there and they're doing this, that, and the other. And there's no way I could do that. But I was going to show them that little skinny runt can do a one-arm push-up. Can you do it? Roar, 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 roar. All right. And so I started out. And it took me about 47 years, not quite that long, but I got to where I couldn't start all the way down, but if I started here, I got to where I could do a one-arm chin-up. Here's my point. Anybody can do a one-arm chin-up. You just stay at it. Here's my point. It was a weak area. I hadn't developed those muscles. If you and I want to get out of shallow water when we need that deep water thought, and the counsels of our own heart as echoed by the counsels of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, the only way to do that is to study ourselves, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Does that make sense at all tonight? I hope it does. And I hope that you and I will follow that through. And it's good to have our live stream folks, and it's good to have this gentleman with us tonight as well. And to the rest of you too, thank you for being here, and look forward to being with the young people now. And I will scoot down there because they're probably wondering where in the world I am. They do what? May I interpret that as they know you are so blessed to have me? No, he means I'm long-winded. I know what you meant. All right. Now, wait a minute. She's my wife. How are you supposed to be on my side on that? Love you, folks. All right.